All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
About 11-year-old on the internet. I love it.
I mean, I'm not going to tell that story. No, you're recording. I'm not telling that story.
Is it about
hey, everybody,
you?
And welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast. Joe, Gina, I can just stop and we don't need to do the show. And we can just keep talking if you want to just...
No, let's just put everything that we were talking about on as the show. No, do not do that.
We've got 9 minutes of content that I don't think you want released, so double think that thought process, please.
Release the Snyder cut.
Release the Gina cut of this episode.
Either you wear a reindeer onesie the next time we record, or I'm putting it out there. Putting it all out there.
Listen, there is already video footage of me in a reindeer onesie for this.
Yeah, that's right.
Singing Christmas Shoes.
Christmas Shoes. We did that. Yes.
Our longtime fans, our real ones, know. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere in the void and will come back to haunt me when I'm running for president of my retirement community when I'm 80 years old.
No. It's on my YouTube channel. You can find Knowing Is Half the Podcast Sings Christmas Shoes. If you Google that, I'm pretty sure it will show up.
That was back when we did stuff in person.
That was a long time ago. That was a very long time ago. We all had the same colored hair. That was pre-children.
Don't bring me into your aging.
I have black hair. Gene has black hair. You have... blonde.
And I have undyed grayish hair, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that.
No one can tell. I mean, with blondes, you can't tell what their hair is anyway. It's like a lack of color.
Yeah.
It's a real shame.
Like a weird albino thing.
I mean, I'm not blonde, but I wish I was right now. Anyway, we are doing more Christmas. If we're lucky, this episode will drop right before Christmas, and you're listening to it very soon after we record it. We like the Nelvana... Cosmic Trucker Thanksgiving so much, we went back to the Nelvana well for their other episode, A Cosmic Christmas.
Wait, was that a Gina-free episode? Because I don't remember that.
You were definitely here for the Amish people who go
it
to
was
the
like
planet.
A month ago, Gina.
Wait, what? The Amish people?
God.
Oh, no.
Wait, no.
No, it was Sid Caesar. Sid Caesar was the king of a planet that was like entirely comedians.
Oh, and then, yeah. I remember that. That this is the same people?
That was four episodes ago. How did you not? I know you make a joke that you forget everything the second we stop. But that wasn't a joke.
The animation looks nothing alike.
Yeah, well, I disagree.
Looks pretty similar.
I think it's pretty similar.
No. Yeah.
We had to go like crazier aliens last time, but this is a very similar animation style.
I agree with Chan on this. Gene, I think if you watched them back to back, you'd be like, oh, all right.
The fact that we needed to like dig it out of you suggests you don't recall what the thing looked like at all.
Maybe she thinks it was Tattertown.
No, I do. No. I have it in my notes. Intergalactic Thanksgiving. Oh, I did write Nelvana. I didn't make the connection.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that one because there were a couple good bits.
Honestly, there were a couple good bits in that one. I don't think there were any in this one.
There were no good bits in this one.
Really? Because here's the thing. At the beginning of this, I was like, "What? Why did I do this to us? Why?" I mean, I did it because we did another one and it was terrible. And I'm like, well, sure, why not? But as it went along, I was kind of like, you know what? I don't.
Oh, God damn it, Chan. Has having a kid really made you this soft?
No, you know what? I think I'm somewhere in the middle. Like, I was like, okay, this is like, if you're just looking at this story. Also, again, I might have said this for the other one, but I like, I appreciate any different animation style. And this is very different.
I feel like the story, the beats, the plot, it was just so paint by numbers. Like the second that it started, I could tell you exactly what beats we were about to hit.
But it wasn't
even including, this is not the first time we've watched a thing exactly like this where people fell into the water and needed to be saved at the end.
But it wasn't paint by numbers in 1977.
Yeah. I think it kind of was, honestly.
No,
it was a Lassie trope at that point.
The Christmas is all about commercialism and people are so busy, like that is well-trod territory, and continue to be well-trod territory of like, oh, you're so busy buying things and you're so stressed out about buying things that you forget the true meaning of Christmas.
The true meaning of Christmas was the toys we bought along the way.
Thank you. I think it was like Foofer, so I don't know what it was, but we watched something this year where the entire thing came down to them being bullied and then the bully falling into the goddamn water or ice.
I remember this. Or I thought it wasn't water. I thought it was like over a cliff or something.
I really thought it was a frozen lake that they fell through. Like, it's just, it's such a ridiculous trope that I don't know.
Listen, there's only so many bad things that can happen to kids before it becomes an episode of Law & Order SVU.
There's only so many things that can freeze over. Before you run out of ideas.
And if you don't have iced tea on contract, don't go the SVU route.
Since I might have mentioned this many times on this podcast, but since the election, I've been watching Law & Order SVU because I really find, I really find the fact that, like, no matter what kind of dick or pervert or asshole or illegal turd it is, at the end of the hour, 98% of the time, that person gets their comeuppance. And I find that really satisfying these days. And man, I love Ice-T. I can still picture him talking about his wife's juicy ass in my head, even as he's telling a woman, like, hey, I know you want that hit of crack, but you got to stay clean until after the trial. And I'm like, yeah, Ice-T preach, man.
I have so many wonderful thoughts about SVU. It's one of my favorite television programs. Say it right now. I've been watching it for decades.
Same.
I stopped watching it for a certain period of time because I had a girlfriend that didn't like it. And it tells you, this was like 2 decades ago. And I basically was like, I got to get rid of you so I can start watching SVU again.
Yeah. I'm up to season 3. That's how much SVU I've watched in the past. Because
you started
weeks.
The very, very beginning.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get caught up from where we fell off like 2 years ago. And it already feels impossible.
No. I started at the very beginning. I think I'm more familiar with the early years, like maybe the first 5 to 10 seasons I'm really familiar with. There was just a great Henry Winkler episode.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want him to be the one who did it, but he was the one who did it.
It always works out that way.
It's always the guest stars. But I find it very soothing.
There's the Robin Williams episode. Robin freaking Williams on SVU.
That's a good episode. That was a haunting episode.
God, that was a good episode. And then my other favorite, recent, relatively, I guess probably 10 years old at this point, but when Porn Stash from Orange is the New Black, AKA goddamn Master Chief somehow.
His name is Pablo fucking Schreiber.
Schreiber, I thought. But
sitting here sounds like listening to schizophrenics talk around a barrel fire about the weird shit going on.
You're the one who likes this cartoon.
The Pablo Schreiber episode, he plays a serial offender who like breaks. Because he comes back in a later episode, but like he goes on a spree where he assaults like 19 people over the course of like 3 hours. And I'm like, how?
It sounded like I'm listening to a bunch of schizophrenics talk. You're not changing that opinion one bit.
Chan, you got to watch more SVU. And also, if you haven't watched the John Mulaney SVU, like, five-minute segment, it's the greatest thing ever committed to film.
It's a fine chunk that's got nothing to do with this.
He's delightful. His quotes about Ice-T are delightful. Everything. Also, the Gamergate episode. Let me just say that right
now. Did we just start an SVU podcast, you guys?
Gina, here's the deal. If you want to start an SVU podcast, I'm here for
You would be divorced by the end of the week if you started another podcast.
No, I would have to end one of my other podcasts. So let's just see how it goes. I would do an SVU. Oh my God. It's like the only other podcast I would be this excited to do.
Enjoy that.
This or Lupin the Third, but y'all aren't coming with me on a Lupin the Third podcast. I already know that. Tell me I'm wrong, Chan.
No, this is the only thing you are not wrong about. Literally everything else.
So you're in, is what you're saying, Chan.
Oh, shit, he's in. What if we did a crossover?
I mean,
every other episode is either SVU or Lupin the Third, and we just alternate back and forth between the two timelines.
Honestly, if Chan has never seen SVU, if he's never watched it, then
I know what it is. I have seen at least an episode of.
I'm saying you're our newbie. You're
the Gina of the podcast.
Yeah, you are.
You're the person with taste, and this podcast doesn't have that role. So
you're the one saying you love Alien Jesus cartoons.
I guess we have to. Let's talk about A Cosmic Christmas. Gina, here's the deal. I'd rather talk about SVU for the entire rest of this episode. And then at the end say, and we watched A Cosmic Christmas by Nelvana.
Well, listen, I would like to finish recording early enough so that I can watch 20 minutes of SVU while I floss.
Lord.
Gina, don't act like you're not going to put 20 minutes of SVU on and floss while we're still recording.
That's true.
I know what happens when you check out of an episode and just stop talking.
I just need to know if you actually floss for 20 minutes.
No, it's like a 1 minute long thing.
I don't think I don't think she flosses for under 20 minutes. I think it goes well beyond that. She got to get all them
it's
sticks.
Just my mouth is just a bloody gash by the end.
Jesus, you don't, Gina, don't. Just come on.
Yeah, you don't need
people
more
looking
DMs.
For you with pictures of reindeer weird. Costumes online. You're gonna be saying bloody gash on this show. What are you doing? What are you even doing? Okay, aliens have shown up in the intro, and it's Earth Day, December 24th, so it's Christmas Eve. Aliens have shown up, and we get the classic montage. We've seen it in every piece of media ever, of angry shoppers, impatient people ripping dolls in half because they want the dolls. It's so stupid at this point. Maybe people acted that way in the desperation of the 1970s and 80s.
But sir.
I've been to Black Friday recently. People don't act like this anymore.
Sir, you are a tall white man. Maybe they are not acting that way around you, but they are definitely acting that way.
No, they are. He's just too far up. Like, Gina,
that's
you're down
true.
By like crotch level to most of these people, so you're getting it hard. But
or
like,
maybe he's like, the one acting like this, so why he doesn't realize it.
That's true. It's true.
No, I've been to Black Friday.
He's the one.
Nobody was punching each other at any Black Friday. And also, it was
sir,
like sparse.
There are videos every single year of Black Friday's gone wrong. Every year.
I think they're from previous years. I just don't believe them anymore because I've seen it with my own eyes too many times. Everybody's online.
Sir?
This is why Party City is closing. Everything is online now.
Just sent us a picture saying, do you think the owl is a predator? Of course not. He's never bothered me. Exactly. You don't need to see it with your own eyes if other people have seen it.
Gina, you've seen videos online. Have you not learned anything in the year 2024
God.
Everything online is to manipulate you?
Hold on. This sort of thing did happen. It doesn't happen much anymore because of the internet and because
that's the whole point.
Like the deals you get you can just get that any day on Amazon.
Like
so not such a big deal, but it's definitely a thing that was worth doing
before online shopping
about. And as recently as I would say as even 10 years ago, maybe even a little bit less. So it was, there's a fair swath of time. Also, this was like 1979. So
seven.
Take that shit into account.
Yeah. And desperation and economic inequality means that people see an opportunity for the quote unquote good life at a price they can afford once a year. And yes, they're willing to get violent over it. I'm just saying, now in the Amazon economy that we live in, I've actually been to stores on Black Friday early on
in the
last like 5 years, only like a couple of times. But every time I've seen it, it was like barely anybody there. Nobody's punching each other. You, walking in the door, they're already like, oh, that TV's not for sale anymore because it was a lie and no one's going to sue them over it. Like, yeah. There's also not as much desperation in the last 4 years because guess what? Somebody, who knows who, improved this economy from the train wreck that it was. Could have been anybody.
Well, I mean, I think it was just a matter of Amazon crushing everybody else.
I mean, it helped for sure.
And also people are finally realized, oh, that $99 TV, they have three of them. And then, you know, so you're either waiting in line or you're paying $109 on Amazon. And there we go.
That's the thing is, they have three of them and they've already been bought by the staff.
Well, good on them. They deserve it. They're having to put up with these fucking Black Friday idiots.
Oh dear Lord. This clickbait rage. Gina, until you've seen it personally firsthand, I'm not accepting. All of this media is here to make me scared. I don't believe it anymore.
I did Black Friday 1 year when I was super, super broke and I needed a laptop. And I did the whole like getting there in line on Thanksgiving night. Is the last time I ever did it. It was terrible.
Yeah. Last year, we needed a new TV.
TVs are like $2 now.
That's the thing is I went out, like in the afternoon, I just kind of like tootled by Target. And I was like, hey, can I have that like 8 billion inch TV for $300? And it was so friggin' big that I had to take it out of the box to fit it in the car. I was totally like all pretzeled up in the driver's seat, trying to drive it back from Woodland Hills or wherever the frick ever. I had to go into like the West Valley, deep West Valley. But you know, I mean,
wait. Gina, did you vet these stories before you sent them to us? Because they make my point.
I'm saying in the last year or two, but to say, oh, this hasn't happened since 1977 is insane.
I'm not saying that even a little bit. It's since Amazon took over.
No, but you started this out by saying like, oh, this is insane. This is ridiculous. Maybe in 1977 this wasn't insane, but it's insane.
Look, literally the story you just sent me to prove your point says, gone are the frenzied in-store dashes, replaced by a more civilized online shopping experience.
In the past, like, 3 years, but do you know how long ago 1977 was? You started this cartoon out by saying, like, oh, my God, who's doing this? Oh, my God, no one. This is long gone are the days.
Guys, I honestly thought you were just playing me back what I just said live.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I've been getting ready to replace you in this podcast, Ray, by just reporting things that you say.
Chan, we all know I've been AI for a year and a half now. So,
well,
I mean that actually would track because AI fucks up a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got these great tips for cooking pasta in gasoline for you. If you'd like to hear them,
I'd eat it. What?
I'll listen to that.
And this is where I wrote in my notes. I don't know. I think people are generally a little kinder now as a society.
Only a fucking white dude would dare fucking say that. And I think
I'm
you
not
should
talking
stop.
About online. I'm talking about face to face and social interactions.
Again, only a fucking white dude would say that.
Are people coming up to you on the street and spitting in your face? I don't understand where this is coming from.
Actually, yeah. Actually, do you want me to tell you about the time that I was licked outside I.O. Yeah. or the time that a dude outside I.O. said he's going to rape you later? Or like, do we really want to fucking get into this?
Ray, you walked into that.
No, here's the deal. You see the net. You're too dumb to not walk into it. I understand this.
Yeah.
And also, I.O. has been closed for like since 1977, I believe. So
this is true.
Here's the deal. Everything that happened at I.O. is terrible. There is nothing associated with my beloved I.O. West Theater in Hollywood, R.I.P. It's been gone for a while now. That is not highly regrettable.
Isn't that when you met your wife?
Ooh, boy. Ooh, boy. Oh, you saw the trap. You saw the trap. We all saw the trap.
Welcome to it. Nelvana, a cosmic Xmas, parentheses, Ray steps in it a lot.
Can we get a move on with this episode?
Absolutely not. No.
So, Gina, here's the deal. On behalf of all weird assholes everywhere, I'm sorry those people did those things to you outside I.O. West.
I mean, listen, I can tell you about shit that happened to me last week. Do you want me to get into it? Because it's...
Wait, what happened? Okay, yes, I do. What happened to you last week?
I'm using that as an example. I would have to think about it for a second, but...
I mean, she listed off a half dozen things just before we went on air. I think I still have it on the
Gina, you want to just put all of that at the end credits and just play the entire thing we recorded before we started?
Probably not a good idea.
Probably a thing not to do. Yeah. Anyway, look, I'm just saying, as a white guy,
that's it. That's all you need.
I have a
cut his mic, Chan. Cut his mic.
It's half baked. I'm not going to get into it here because Gina's here to tell me I'm wrong. But when I get a bunch of white dudes on the podcast, I'm going to explore it further. You're both so mad at me. Anyway, we meet the mayor. His name is Alice John Thimby, and he is running for mayor.
What did you say his name was?
His name is Alice John Thimby. Am I crazy?
Yes, you are.
Can you play it for me? Come with the receipts, Chan.
Don't forget to tell your folks to vote for Alice John Thimby.
He says it slowly and enunciates it, and you still come with like Aldous Blong Blimbley?
I have Alice John Thimbley. That's what I have written down here, and that's what he just said.
Honest. He is a politician.
Okay, play it one more time. Lying. I heard Alice. Yeah.
Oh.
L-L-I-S. Don't forget to tell your folks to vote for Alice John Thimbley.
You tell me he's not saying Alice. You literally just listened to that and said, clearly that word is honest and not Alice. Play it one more time.
No,
I'm mad now.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, because I'm right and you just proved it.
What? Mad. You think he has three names and his first name is Alice?
Look, Alice. I don't judge people with different time periods for their weird
common
names.
Common name. For a politician.
In Canada, in 1977. This is a Canadian thing, by the way.
This, yeah, 1977, where media was using names like Anakin and Han.
Fun thing, I just typed in Alice to Google, and I was like, did you mean Ollie's? Because nobody is named Alice, you dumb. It said that. It typed it out, which is kind of, I guess AI is really... making some inroads here
I'm kind of if AI is going to start making fun of you guys, I'm kind of in favor of it now.
I mean,
I love the idea that Chan just a moment ago said AI is known for not knowing anything about anything, and now is now quoting it as the gospel truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if AI says it, Chan, it must be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
You disgust me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we also meet Santa Joe. Did I get that wrong, Chan?
I think you did okay there. Congratulations, Ray. We've made it a minute 40 seconds into the cartoon, and you've only made one egregious error.
I think someone needs to, we need to get a fact checker that fact checks Ray in real time as he's doing stupid crap.
So let's do the live show, right? Is that what we just talked about? When are we all going to be here? Let's do a live show for the people.
I will.
Do you want a live show? Tell us.
I will not be here. I will be moving to Panama because I feel like their healthcare is better.
I'm sorry. Does internet not work in Panama?
I hope not.
it really won't. It won't the day we're filming. That's for sure. Oh my God. Santa Joe works for the Salvation Army. He's dressed as Santa. He's taking donations. It's not going well. And this is when he's accosted by four young ruffians who he says, "What do you mean help the unfortunate, man? We are the unfortunate." And in my head, I'm like, shut the fuck up, you boomers. you boomer-ass boomers.
Except they actually do seem to be, they do seem to be hungry orphans, though. But I still wanted that kid to drown for trying to kill a pet goose. Serial killer.
Okay, I'll get into why they're full of shit in a moment, but Chan, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I mean, my read of this is they're a bunch of fucking teenagers who are on the street because, A, it's 1977, you know, B, their parents are, I don't know, high, whatever. But, like, they're setting them up as, like, these fucking monsters. I'm like, they're kids, and they're like, yeah, we're the needy ones. They didn't take that dude's money like I was expecting them to.
I was expecting them to do that too, yeah.
They're just like being dicks, which is what a teenager's supposed to do.
Okay.
They're totally, at this point, totally fine.
No, this is 1977. That means if they were 16 years old, which I placed them at, that means they were born in 1961. They are full-ass boomers. Living in an economy that they stole from all the generations that come after them, if they're struggling, F them. That's what I'm saying.
I think you're the boomer in this situation.
Like, I pulled myself up on my own bootstraps and got a very lucrative job playing video games.
Here's the thing. They might not steal. I think that this guy doesn't have any money to steal, first of all, which is why they don't steal any. But they are going to murder a sentient creature.
They, at this point,
and eat it.
In the narrative, they're just normal, shitty teens.
No, this goes beyond. They are filth. I am afraid for the behavior that you okay, sir, because at this point they are douchebags.
Oh yeah, I'm waiting for you to babysit Egon. We'll see how this goes.
I have now watched enough Law and Order SVU to know that what is going to happen is you are going to come home. I am going to be dead. You and Sai are going to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone is going to be like, we found this lady's body in an alley. Oh my God. It looks like, someone was messing around and accidentally cut off a windpipe.
Oh yeah. She's in a reindeer onesie. So she was probably asking for it, right? Yeah. Seems about right.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, Chan. God damn it. So also in all of this, like the boy, it opens with the boy in the montage and he's walking around watching all the angry people. And then just at a certain point, a goose just shows up and starts hanging out with him. It wasn't there the whole time.
No. He was calling. They do like this. This was actually kind of fun because he's like Lucy. And you think it's like his little sister. And then you realize Lucy is Goosey. But he calls her like several times and he's like, Lucy, where are you? And they're like in a store. So it's like setting it up to be like, ah, crap, this kid was in charge of his little sister. And now she's lost. And he's like, oh, there you are. And it's a fucking goose dressed in an outfit. That's a good bit.
Here's the deal. You explaining it like that's a good bit. What I saw just confused me.
He says Lucy and then it's a goose.
I didn't catch. Honestly, I didn't catch that he was calling anybody at all. I was watching the anime.
There you are. Come on, Lucy. Let's go.
Yeah.
What's happening to your brain while you think some guy's name is Alice? You don't pay attention to other crap that's going on.
I still have not been convinced his name is Arliss.
Is that what's happening?
Here's the deal. Great show. First off, that really helped start HBO to become the juggernaut that it is. Excuse me, Max, somehow.
That's the through line from Arliss to House of Dragons is very clear.
House of Dragons, it's fallen off linear now, but like, I don't know. Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is when it started falling off right at the end there. But like you got Soprano, like there are so many great HBO shows. I don't need to define this.
No, you don't.
The Wire.
You really don't.
Oz.
You never watched any of those shows. You started watching the pilot and then you got frightened of how many black people there were.
How dare you? I watched a lot. I don't know if I think I've seen all of Oz, but I've watched a lot of Oz, especially when I was like in college and I had HBO. It's a great show. Christopher Maloney, star of at Law and Order SVU, big member of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about his penis?
He shows his penis a lot in that show.
I did. I saw his penis in True Blood.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I never caught that one. Anyway, so the ruffians want to eat the goose, so they attack the goose 4v1, and the goose beats them, which is kind of crazy.
That is not how it goes.
Also, isn't that like at the very end? Didn't we just skip over like 20 minutes?
No, because they have a big brawl with the goose.
No, they meet the kids, then they go.
Okay, I did skip some stuff.
Okay, but no, there's the mayor. And then
Peter sees the spaceship. Okay, Peter, the main character, the protagonist, sees the spaceship. He's trying to tell everybody, but nobody's listening to him. And the one person who actually listens to him looks up, and the spaceship has moved behind like a star, like a decoration. And he's just like, you're full of shit.
But then immediately a ton of people call the cops and they're like, hey, there's a spaceship. Also, yeah, this is what's going on right now in New Jersey. They say it's drones, but it's aliens.
It's probably they're coming down to learn the true meaning of Christmas.
Oh, my God. It's these aliens back after 47 years.
It's Chief Snert, by the way. He is the chief of police, guy
Lord Snert's?
That you're talking about.
Lord Snert is the chief of police in a 1977 cartoon? Is there anything that guy can't do?
It's right. Senior Snert's.
Yeah, after the cop is like, rightly, like, there's no fucking aliens or whatever. Then they run up to the kids again. And honestly, I feel like the kid is the one who's stirring shit up with them.
Really?
What? First of all, what are you talking about? Second of all, I love that this little kid goes full on Doctor Who. Like, he's like, there's aliens. And then he like goes to meet them and he's like, hey, aliens. Like, I love that he's gung-ho aliens.
Yeah, the bullies start chucking snowballs at his face. And they're just like, oh, you see aliens? Maybe they threw space balls at you, you piece of shit. And then Chan's over being like, I think that other kid started it.
Yeah. This is you already preparing for all the meetings you're going to have about Egon in high school. This is you being like, I'm pretty sure those other kids. Yes, you did find a dead body of a woman in an alley wearing a onesie, but I'm pretty sure she started it.
Yeah, and I'm the good fairy.
What happens here is they're making fun of him. Yes, they were being kind of aggressive. They don't lay hands on him at all.
Shit at him, Chan, and it hits him. What do you mean?
Yeah,
dude falls off a trash can, lands on the goose. The goose starts some shit.
They were already throwing shit at the kid.
And talking snowball in winter. How many times have you, Gina, your kids need to toughen up. They need to be like pulling switchblades on each other.
That is 4-on-1, Chan.
Yeah, there's a certain intimidation thing in the Chan. It's not. Can you believe that one small child started a brawl with the four much larger children who were together and insulting him? Asshole that one kid is.
The kids are being shits. No doubt, no lie.
Oh my the god. Goose, he has been called to the office over this already.
Yes,
the goose
yes.
is the aggressive motherfucker.
Oh
in this
my
situation.
God.
You I'm sorry, ask did they- anybody you ask any Canadian, hey, what do you think about geese? They're like, they're murder birds.
They are murder birds.
They should all be like
That goose should have fucking bit their noses off. I think that goose should have gone further. These kids so far have harassed a man collecting money. They
for charity.
They threw a snowball.
They've made fun of him.
They threw a snowball at a kid.
They threw a snowball at a kid.
They threw a snowball at a kid who's like 5 years younger than they are.
4v1. Yeah.
They're dicks.
And then they
almost crushed a goose to death. That goose should have bit their penises off.
Full grown ass goose could easily solo that entire crew.
All right, Chan, you've been on too much Who Would Win show.
Yeah, I know. It's disturbing. But like that goose, grown adult men run from geese that size because they'll break your damn arm. They will put you in the hospital.
No, we see later that goose cannot take care of itself.
I mean, that kid gets over on the goose later very easily.
The goose is the goose, and he did the Gina thing. He was like, oh, you come at me? I'm going to make sure that you think I'm crazy so that I don't get shivved in jail.
Oh, that is a Gina thing.
And he tries to kill this one teenager. The other teenagers jump in. He beats the piss out of all of them.
Wait, you're talking about the goose? Because good for that goose.
I'm just saying.
That goose is protecting its human brother.
That goose is protecting itself. That goose is the one who got touched first.
That goose beat the crap out of those kids. So that's why they're mad at the goose. They're not like, oh, I just want to find an animal and dismember it because I'm a freaking sociopath.
But that is sort of what they come to the point of later.
We'll get to that too.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Circumstances.
Oh my God! Listen to Chan. Chan bending over somehow.
Yeah,
Robert Clark Chan sees himself defending massive bullying in the year 2024.
This is purely because you have had a kid that you know is going to be a bully.
100%. Let's talk to 30 years ago, Chan, if his opinion is the same.
Yeah, exactly. 30 years ago, Chan would be like, I wish I had a goose to protect me from the bullies.
Let's talk to Gina's parents so that we can get a real eye on raising a bully. No,
that's how we know, because Gina is a massive bully, and she's not here defending these kids.
Which says to me that they're not that big of bullies.
Oh no, they're dicks. Also, just the tone of their voice is dickish. Plus, they were circling that charity man like a hawk, and they absolutely would have stolen his money if he had any money.
It's fair.
In that bucket.
I'm going to say right now, as far as Gina and bullying is concerned, game recognize game. You know what I'm saying?
I think these are serial killers in the making.
Thank you. Thank you. It's true. So let's get to the song, because at 4 minutes and 10 seconds, that's as far in as we are, folks. There's
Good
a song
Lord.
And it's a ripoff of like, I have a, no, listen to it first. Listen to it. And I have my opinion.
People around me, eyes to the ground. Oh, why can't they look to the sky, they.
Real quick, the transcription of this song, the first line.
Please.
People around me, I do the girl. No, I get paid to do the sky. The sky.
No, that's not what it says.
It's pretty great.
To me, their world is a tiny place. I can raise my eyes and fly through space.
This is so Canadian. This is so 70s kid Canadian.
This feels like they were really trying to like rip off those boring parts of a Charlie Brown cartoon.
Oh,
and,
no way.
And this is what they came up with. Tell me I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong.
You don't think that they were going for the vibe of the interstitial Charlie Brown cartoon when they're walking around doing the most milquetoast of
you
bits?
You mean the music only, no words, interstitial music in Charlie Brown?
Yes.
No, I do not think that that is what they are going for.
There's a lot of interstitial no words before. Chan started at the lyrics, but there was a lot of music before that.
Yeah, it's like, it's not jazzy enough. It's exactly. Like real
chill.
No,
you're right. No saxophone. Yeah.
Oh, so when Chan disagrees with you, you believe him.
Well, Chan brought facts.
Right.
You just told me I was wrong.
I literally said Charlie Brown interstitials do not have lyrics. This one does have lyrics, therefore they are not the same.
But this is Chan's fault and not your fault, Gina, because I was really talking about the 45 seconds of interstitial music before they started singing.
I'm not going to play that.
And you're not going to play that, making me look like a complete asshole here.
That is
you had to try very hard.
You can do that all on your own. I'm not going to take on that extra emotional labor.
You sound just like
your
wife. I know. Look at... This is so wild because then the boy and the goose they fall down a hill at the end of the song. I don't know how we got there. They're rolling down a hill. They crash into a stump. I'm worried about massive brain damage. And this is where they make first contact with the aliens and the spaceship, which is a big round ball. Spoiler alert, the aliens represent the three wise men of the ancient mythological tale.
That's not a spoiler. That's literally from the first second he saw a star and we saw the three people before the cartoon even really started. That is the whole point of this.
You know, I wasn't paying attention to them back then.
I didn't get that much.
You didn't see them as the three wise men?
No, because I saw one of the dudes, when they get there, they're just like hanging out. And the dude on the left's just like wiggling his fingers. I'm like, are you playing keyboards?
Oh my God.
Is this Rush?
Oh my God.
Is this like,
oh my God,
like 1977 Canada?
No, you're right.
It's full on, like the one in the one on the middle's Geddy Lee. You got Alex Lifeson over there, Neil Peart.
It's literally the first sentence of the Wikipedia description. Three aliens from an unknown planet, a biblical magi illusion, visit Earth to know the true meaning of Christmas.
Is this American Wikipedia or is this Canadian Wikipedia?
That's how I know it's obvious. I didn't read the Wikipedia and I figured it out.
Yeah, yeah. When Ray catches on to something before you do, Chan, it is time to reevaluate your life.
What I'm saying is Wikipedia does not have the full story.
Look, how about this? Gina, were you raised Catholic?
Kind of, yeah.
Because I was raised Catholic. You were sort of raised Catholic. Chan, you were not raised Catholic. It's easy to see how we picked up on this and you did not. I'm letting you off the hook here.
I'm not. It's literally every Christmas special. I mean, again, like every Christmas special is like, hey, three wise men. I literally wrote down, how many sketch pitches have I heard that started with like, it's three wise men, but. Like there was that like, you know, didn't SNL do like the three wise guys at some point?
They absolutely did.
I put three wise men aliens. This is a sketch. It's like, oh, it's the three wise men, but they're aliens. Oh, it's the three wise men, but they're three wise guys. I think every sketch team I've ever coached around Christmas time has pitched. So it's almost as common as good cop, something cop.
All I'm saying is that if you take the wise men and you take these three aliens and you ask them to play YYZ, these guys would fucking kill it.
And here's the deal. I'm not even saying you're even wrong, Chan. I'm just saying they're the three wise men, aliens as reimagined as Rush. I can get behind that.
All right.
100%.
I'll give you that.
100%.
Ray is correct in this instance, Gina.
Hashtag
culture.
Ray is right.
Nope. That's my hashtag.
Hashtag nope.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
I got it!
Wow!
Introducing the G.I. Joe USS Flag Aircraft Carrier. Imagine being on the deck of this aircraft carrier.
The USS Flag is fantastic! It's so big!
G.I. Joe USS Flag Aircraft Carrier comes with what you see here. Other figures and equipment sold separately from Hasbro. Now, back to G.I. Joe.
All right, so the aliens speak fluent English and also every other language in existence. How?
Listen, if you were a Doctor Who fan, you would already fucking know. Chan?
Holy
explain
shit.
I
mean, wow,
it.
Aggressive. Tell me.
I mean, that
TARDIS
would suggest,
translation matrix.
That would suggest they have a TARDIS. They do not. This is simply a universal translator, probably from Starfleet.
I'm just saying, everyone knows about the concept of a universal translator.
At some point later on, though, they're like, what is this word? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Not
like,
everything translates. Not 100% of things translate.
Yeah, I just say it's bullshit.
Wouldn't you have had to have been there once before to have a chance at translation? That's
No. Have you ever watched any alien-based show?
I have, in fact, seen the wonderful alien documentary, They Live.
I thought you were going to say Mac and Me. Which would explain a lot.
Here's the deal, Chan. I should have said Mac and
I know you should have.
I mean, you're here to correct my mistakes.
Yeah. Get with the times.
Yeah.
What was the question?
I don't know.
I think the question was, are we done yet?
Look, so the aliens have shown up because they this is such heinous bullshit. Okay, so the aliens have shown up because 2,000 years ago, why did it take them so long? The great star in the heavens appeared as a blip over Earth for a moment 2,000 years ago, and they're just showing up now to investigate. The kid immediately snaps and goes, it was the Star of Bethlehem. Obviously, it was the day our Lord and Savior, baby Jesus, was born, and the aliens are here searching for the meaning. The kid says, oh, you're looking for the true meaning of Christmas. We'll show you.
I mean, honestly, this tracks with Christians. This tracks with like someone lands and is like, oh, man, we got to find out the meaning behind this. And it's like, hey, idiots, it's fucking Jesus.
Yes.
I believe they say something about like we've gone to all these different places trying to figure this thing out.
Why not go to the place where it fucking happened?
Well,
I assume it came from someplace. Like they've been tracking it from some alien planet.
What they're tracking is some sort of like a supernova or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is fine.
Champagne supernova.
It happened
in the sky. Someday you will find me caught up in the landslide in a champagne supernova. I can't do it.
I was expecting a few of those words to be alien related.
Oh, you know what? I was just singing the song. I wasn't thinking about changing the I got a chance to sing Oasis on Knowing Is Half the Podcast. I'm going to take it.
Earth time, in the 79th Mervant, a transitory celestial phenomenon of the Mirbundian class.
Huh?
What Plutox is trying to say is that in the heavens visible to many worlds, there appeared for a brief time a great star which manifests itself in the heavens.
I mean,
I love how weird all of it is. I'm going to be honest.
As soon as they said the word Mervant, I started checking out.
Well, no, I was checked in.
I was going to say, this goes beyond just like regular kids TV, because in like a regular holiday special, it would just be like, yeah, we're aliens. We followed a star here. This like goes hard and I like it.
I guess. It is such silliness. I don't know. It's fine. They're going to take him on a journey of Christmas. This is like a reverse A Christmas Carol. They're going to take the aliens to show them examples of all the people they know. But the problem is all the people that Peter knows are terrible.
Well, they're very stressed around the holidays.
I do want to jump in and say that I feel like the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future also represent a sort of type of rush.
fuck off.
Listen, I just posted about this today.
About Rush?
No, about how the ghost of Christmas present is always the best role.
I'm not interested in
that. I agree with that 100%. That was a great post.
Thank you, Ray. It's nice that one of you is a friend that likes my posts.
I saw that post and I just found myself being like, oh shit, she nailed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. Honestly, I meant to say it sooner. Respect. That's a great post.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
That being said, I want to hear more about this Ghosts of Christmas Past, Present, and Future as Rush, because Chan hasn't really thought it through, and I'd like to see him work the magic in real time.
No time. We got to get the rest of the show. Yeah.
Oh, we got to move forward. Who knew? George's Christmas store, and he's pissed off. It's the holiday season. He's stressed. His store is literally bulging with merchandise, which makes me wonder how he was open in the first place.
Yeah,
it's an odd bit.
Were people returning things? Is that what was going on?
Well, she's like, he's like, he always has Christmas in the windows, and then the things that are busting out are like decorations and stuff. So, like,
yeah,
I guess it's his place is full of decorations.
How do people go to the shop? How did he get out of there if literally he can't close the door?
Also, I need someone to check me on this here. Is that
French?
Asian gibberish.
Oh.
I honestly, my first thought was that's Asian gibberish.
Oh, I thought it was French, but I also heard him say, I'm dying in English. So now I don't know. Asian? Is the character Asian?
No, not at all.
Play it one more time because to me it sounds French.
Did you hear about the?
To me, that's like a sacré bleu.
Interesting. Yeah, because he's just a normal white guy. I was also paying zooming in close to make sure that he doesn't do like a weird Jewish thing like he did in the
The
other Nirvana thing, or was that someone else?
Sid Caesar just sort of sounds like that, no. But you're actually thinking of the
Tattertown 2 weeks ago.
Yes, Tattertown.
And it's such a weird, like out of nowhere thing. I was like, they couldn't possibly be doing that, right? And
it's
who knows
just weird
what they were doing, but it is weird.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole segment and the whole here's the deal. The aliens are going with Peter, who's showing them moments, trying to show them Christmas, but all he's showing them is the worst side of Christmas. And the aliens keep being like, is this kindness, Peter?
Man, they're just being They're trolling him. Yeah. At first I was thinking that it was just them being like noodly woo-woo 70s alien things, but then they kept doing them. Like, oh shit, man, they're just being assholes about this.
I mean, it's much funnier if they're trolling him. They're obviously not supposed to be, but it is just like Peter's like, oh hey, they're my neighbors, and the neighbor's like axing up his wife, and he's like, I told the bitch to have dinner ready at 7, and if she knew it was good for her last time. And then the aliens are like, is this Christmas love?
hold on.
God damn it.
Is
this
peace, Peter?
Yeah, real.
So earnest.
Listen, I really do. I do like, I think it's very clever the way that they put an effect on the voice and do this thing with the animation where it seems like they're skipping frames whenever the aliens are on screen. Like, it's a clever way to show. If you go back and watch it, the aliens are a little jittery anytime they're on screen. It looks like they're missing a frame of animation every time they're moving. And no one else in the cartoon does that. And then when their voices talk, they give them this almost like otherworldly robotic sound. And I was this is whatever they're doing here for 1977. This is clever. It's like unsettling.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's the one part they did a phenomenal job on. I agree. So here's the deal. We cut back to the cop station where everyone is calling in to report that they see a spaceship in the sky. And the police officer is making fun of every single one of them. After like how many calls in a row do you think you're wrong?
Okay, because first of all, mass hysteria, man. I mean, we all heard the stories about War of the Worlds. I would buy. Also, listen, having watched Gremlins so far 10 times this holiday season.
Oh, my God.
I put it on in the background while I'm doing other stuff. But like, as soon as people start calling about like green monsters and there's a dude in his office being like, yeah, there's gremlins. Look, here's a gizmo. I have one right here, but they're like him, but they're green. And then he gets like 10 calls in a row and he's like, yeah, sure. Little green. Like this is law enforcement.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a big thought on this later, which we'll get to. yeah. Literally everyone calling must be wrong. Not me, who is sitting in my office, not looking outside.
Again, right now in New Jersey, they're in my hometown Facebook group, people have probably posted about drones 50 times to be like, what is this? What's going on? And theories in the media range from aliens to spy craft. I don't know why they would want to spy on a suburb in New Jersey, but it has happened so many times and the cops have gotten so many calls about it that like the press has had to put out like statements being like, hey, it's fine, they're fucking drones. So this to me is real, that a cop would be like, yes, it is not an alien, it is a drone, stop calling about this.
Well, especially in 1977. But to be fair, they get enough calls that the cop and the mayor decide we're gonna go out and check for ourselves what these people are talking about. This is better police action than Uvalde.
I mean, what isn't?
Literally everything in media is better police action. Killer clowns from outer space cops who got turned into clowns because they sat in the station and refused to investigate is still better police work than Uvalde. Not happy about that situation. Hot take, I know. I don't like what they did there.
It is very Christmassy, though, so good on you.
You know, really I'm only here to talk about school shootings on Christmas. Hi, I'm knowing it's half the podcast, Ray Stakanis. Are you having too much mirth this holiday season? Come to my show. We're going to talk about the most heinous shit ever.
Need some topics for the Christmas dinner table with your family? Want to get off the MAGA shit for 5 minutes?
Yeah, nah. To be fair, if somehow you haven't evolved to a point where that uncle hasn't been uninvited at this point, talk about Uvalde and watch him curl up and want to talk about Obama. Making FEMA camps in Texas out of abandoned Walmarts or whatever the hell they were pretending existed. The point I'm trying to make is they go to the bully's house. Why would you go to your bully's house to show the true meaning of Christmas?
Wait, why do they? I forget.
He just goes to people he knows. And unfortunately, the closest friendship this kid Peter has is the people who beat him up.
No, doesn't he just sort of like unintentionally stumble upon like their clubhouse? Like it's not their real house.
It's hard to say because it is in a junkyard. It is real large, though.
It's a big house. You know,
but it's like, you know, it's like an abandoned building that they use as a hangout.
Yeah, it's the size of the clubhouse from Cosby Kids. I'm looking at it.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I mean. It's like their you know their hangout spot. It's not their house.
This is how you know they're boomers because they claim to be destitute, but they own massive property. That shit will go for $500,000 two decades later.
Not two decades later, but I absolutely could see paying. I could see going as high as $600,000 for this.
Yes,
in North Hollywood today.
Yeah. Now, location in a junkyard, not great.
Not great, but I've been to worse.
But they own more money. Property. This is how you know they're poor ass boomers who don't deserve your sadness.
I mean, I didn't say I was sad for them. I do think they're extenuating circumstances, which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm. And this is just it. The bully kid, Melvin, I think his name is, he goes, I could really go for a goose right now. Hey, we met a goose earlier. Let's go eat him. And then, I don't know if you have the clip, Chan, the aliens are Johnny on the spot with their trolling bullshit.
What are you having for Christmas dinner?
Same as usual. Nothing.
All right. Nothing for Christmas dinner. They're in this place, all kids, no adults. Where are the adults on Christmas Eve? Either they're working or something worse. Either way, they've been left to their own devices and are not even having Christmas dinner. You think they might have something to be upset about?
No, fuck that. That's not an excuse to kill a sentient goose.
You know what? You say that, and yet I feel like...
you participate in society. How curious.
I don't think this kid's name is Melvin. I think his name is Luigi. All right, let's keep going.
Jeez, that's too bad. Like, we're having a caviar and pheasant under glass.
Yeah, and pâté de foie gras and roast goose and...
Hang on. What did you say?
Pâté de foie gras?
No. Roast goose. I wouldn't mind having some of that.
He flicks a switchblade there. You heard the click.
I did.
It's a comb.
It's a comb.
It's not a switchblade.
It's a good
These are not dangerous children. These are kids who have been left to their own devices and are just trying to, I don't know, eat dinner on Christmas Day.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, Gina. defending the bullies. Because they clearly are comfortable in this large house on the junkyard property on Christmas Eve. You might ask yourself, where is security? Where are the people who own this junkyard? They are boomers. They are the ones who own this entire junkyard. This is completely on them. Either their parents own it or they own it. They are comfortable on this property. There is no excuse. They just rejected good things because of some bullshit.
Also, this is like everyone who's listened to this podcast already knows that Chan is a villain. So this is not surprising to anyone.
I am the least villainous of the three of us.
False.
And we can take a poll on that.
False. Man,
I don't know.
Here's
the deal. That's an honestly very good question. We are three villains. Don't get me wrong. Heel versus heel never works.
No, it is not a good WrestleMania main event.
Maybe that explains the ratings.
Listen, someone just gave us a review that said, I'm the one that keeps this show going or something like that. So
you got a review?
Or not a review, like a social media post.
Yeah, not a review. That'd be outrageous.
Chan, you even commented on it by saying my ego was going to be out of control, and you were right.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Not fondly.
Hey, as a Christmas gift to us, why not give us a review?
Are we still trying to get reviews? Listen, I had dinner with some friends the other night, and one buddy is just starting up his podcast. The third person there, pretty well-to-do podcast, the Jordan Jesse Go podcast. And so guy number three was like, oh, you guys have hosted podcasts for a while. Like what's my game plan? He meant obviously to make it successful and make money. And I was like, man, I don't know. I've hosted this for like 9 years. And they were like, 9 years. Good Lord. How much like, and it was like, how much do you get in a month type of thing?
Jesus. They've never been on a podcast, Gina. They just don't know.
No, I mean, it was clear by the end of the meal after friend number three was going through, here's what you should do, ads, this and that we are doing this wrong.
100%.
But I've been saying how we should be doing it from day one, but no one will come with me on this journey.
We're not getting on NPR with our podcast. So I little bit of a difference between their show and our show.
Gina, I don't think you understand. Robert Clark Chan and myself have just assumed for 9 years at some point you would become a household name and rise the tide for all of us.
Yeah. we went for those coattails that have yet to appear.
That's because I'm pulling them up behind me.
Because we have nowhere else to go and nothing else to do. We can wait. Okay, back to the show. God, we are not even halfway through.
Well, speed through it.
I keep trying, but y'all derail me.
Gina's got some heavy flossing to do.
And I have 4 minutes, and so I need to be watching my nightly Law & Order SVU.
And who could blame you? But 11:35 gives us a piano song, Chan. And there's a dance number with the alien thing that I don't fully understand what it is, nor need I. And the goose. They have a dance number with, again, more Peanuts-esque music with no lyrics.
We determined it was not Peanuts-esque.
Yeah. Well, listen to it with no lyrics. Maybe you'll change your mind.
No.
You can't hear Snoopy and Woodstock dancing to that.
It's way too slow.
It is too
slow. It's being done over this weird mating sequence between this robot and this goose, which is
mating. Wait, what? Honestly,
are you telling me?
Oh yeah, that robot's going up that goose later.
What the F? Yeah. I did not get that at all.
Oh my god, that was one of the strongest through lines of this thing. Those two are just ready to go to town on each other.
Okay, hold on. I did not get that even a little bit. Gina, did you pick up that they wanted?
Yeah, they're also flirty later on at the dinner.
Holy shit!
Yeah. And flirty as in one of them's got their hands down the other's pants already at the dinner table.
What?
I just mean like metaphorically. Okay, I'm pretty sure we see
that. If I missed that, that would be.
We see animated wings, par. But really, they're going to town.
Well, Peter does this first smart thing of the entire episode. He goes to his family and Granny says, you can't buy Christmas. And then aliens show up in their living room. And what I love about this moment is the three aliens show up, announce themselves. We are aliens. We are not a threat. We are here to hang out. And Granny immediately gets super wet.
Yeah, she's horny for these aliens.
She wants
she's
to
like,
fuck
she's
all
like
three
men
of them.
From Mars. And then she like gives herself a little shush.
Yeah, she is ready to bone down right there.
My. Men from Mars, come in.
Yeah, I mean, you can't see the animation, or if you are, you know, like, go and take a look at it. But even just in a voice, it's, yeah, definitely.
No, she is down to F. Everybody outside, everyone get outside, but then everybody come back in. Leave the goose outside by themselves, abducted by the bullies.
The bully who... got the shit kicked out of him by this goose. He had a black eye. He was beaten physically by this livestock. And because he has no Christmas dinner, you know what? I mean, I'm not saying that he did the right thing. I'm just saying that it's understandable.
Nope. He's a serial killer.
No.
Oh, okay. What are you having for Christmas dinner, Gina? A nice ham?
Dude,
maybe a big old juicy turkey.
Nope, I'm Italian. I'm having a baked ziti, bitch.
With ground beef from a delicious cow.
You don't put ground beef in baked ziti.
I don't know what the fuck you put in ziti. I imagine it's some sort of.
I put Italian sausage. Ground Italian sausage. Now here's the deal, Chan. For Christmas dinner, and I'll tell you right now, I have. I'm gonna have a goose that I stole from a poor kid. It tastes better if it comes.
It's also clearly a member of the family and is wearing an outfit.
It tastes the best if that's the case.
Did that goose assault you?
Look, I don't like to talk about my various altercations, but that goose may have assaulted me once.
I just want to say that I'm generally on the side of
the
mean old guy in Christmas movies who was like bit by a dog and is therefore now mad at the dog. That's on the dog and the owners who don't control their pets. So I feel like in this scenario, we could call animal control.
To be fair, I don't think Peter's poor. I think he's middle class.
No, Peter's not. Yeah, they're definitely middle class.
They're middle class. They're not upper middle class, but they're middle class, and he has a pet goose who wears a top hat. So I think he's doing fine. At this point, though, Granny tells the old-timey story of Christmas, and we get a song at 1515. And yes, Chan, I do want to hear it.
I know that you do.
I do.
So long ago, so long ago, when I was young, old stories told and old songs sung, the flames that lit the crackling wood, and smells of fir tree fire and food.
Okay, this is where I'll step in and say, there are no bangers in this entire episode.
No.
Not a single banger of the lot.
it's not supposed to be, but also it kind of feels like they're trying to make some, like, secular Christmas-friendly kind of, like, hopefully standard someday.
What do you mean secular? They literally mention the birth of the baby Jesus in this cartoon.
Yeah, but the songs themselves tend to be pretty just like, hey, remember when Christmas was just like all about family and hanging out in front of a fireplace? They're just like leaning hard into nostalgia, which is, you know, not a bad choice. It's just like real milquetoast. So
it's kind of boring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So aliens use space magic to decorate the entire house. Which is honestly okay. I like this segment. But then the goose cries out outside as it's being abducted. And the magic just to be, it was an illusion. The magic ends. It never existed. I'm kind of mad at these aliens. They made me think they were more than they were.
They brought like an entire like Christmas ass dinner. So like that shit ain't real.
They just poofed it. It was gone. Okay. So we're done with that storyline for a minute. The chief of police and the mayor and the posse he has put together is outside the giant space ball, and he's just yelling at it. They're not answering, chief. Well, I'll keep yelling. But what I really loved about this moment, and what was really telling about police in 1977 and today, they're shouting at the alien spaceship. There is a goddamn alien spaceship in front of them. They have a posse together. They are trying to understand and corral the situation. At which point, somebody yells, "Stop, thief!" And the cops remember where their interests actually lie. And they go out to protect a richer man's property in a heartbeat over the very important alien adventure that they are currently on.
I mean,
that is police in 1977 and now.
Like, what are you going to do? He doesn't want to be there. There's this giant ass fucking metal orb that's just sitting there, and he's supposed to do something. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, well, I can try and make him come out. They're not coming out. I don't have a tank. Like, this is the fucking LAPD, so I can't bust in the door. Oh, I would go get the shoplifter. I know what to do there.
It is so hilarious, though. Literally, the most important thing generationally to ever happen for humanity. Or I could bust a poor kid who stole something out of desperation.
Yeah.
See, so you're on this kid's side now? Yeah, I don't understand.
No. I am not on this kid's side. Except when it comes to him versus the police.
Mm-hmm.
Then I make unfair, uncomfortable acquaintances with his side of things.
Nope, I'm still against animal murderers in any way.
Gina, you've been pro-cop for a long time.
That's true. That's, they are my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. and then we have a sequence where there is a lot to take in. Honestly, I don't think I got it all. I'm going to need some help here because I'm pretty sure Granny was snowboarding at a certain point after the kid with the goose. The police chief starts running around with a police light on his head, like Inspector Gadget that he's just running around with. And that was like two of five weird things that happened that I would not rewind to watch more of.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, wait a minute. Is that Granny? Oh, my God, it is. She is fucking snowboarding. What the hell?
She's cool. We've established that she's cool and horny for aliens.
Yeah, but does she shred is the question. I did not think that that was a thing she did, but maybe she does. Yeah, they're all going flying through the snow, and then they run up to the frozen river, and kid falls in.
Yeah, the bully and the goose trip on their device, and they fall into the ice. And Peter saves the bully, we're led to think, but no, the bully pulls Peter into the ice as well. And they're both stuck in the ice.
What a piece of shit. And he gets dragged in. The piece of shit is the robot, who is like an interstellar thing that can mate with other species and flies. So it's fully functional is what I'm saying. And he can't pull these people out, which is dumb. He just it turns into a flotation device that has no handles.
It's a real weak. It's really weak. And I do like the part where the cops show up and they go, we can't help them.
They live in a place with a frozen river.
Yes, they do.
If you live there, you know how to fish people out. You have to. There are children always. You will always have children. There will always be a risk of that happening. There are procedures, and nobody here has that.
They're just like, get off the ice. Let's just cheer moral support at them.
Listen, everyone who lives by a lake knows if a kid goes in, you leave him for dead.
Oh, wow.
Which is who's the villain of the show again?
Ippolito is the villain of this show.
All those people could have gone in that water with them, and then you got a whole dead town. I assume that's what happened in Michigan.
What the fuck? Why am I taking strays here? I want the people listening to this episode to tell us. Hit us up on social media, not Twitter, and let us know who is the rank top three villains of Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
Yes, this is a ranked voting situation.
Keeping in mind,
look, it normally puts incompetent people closer to power. But in this case, I want to know, 1, 2, 3, biggest villain on this show between the three of us.
I also want you to know that since sexism has not been eradicated, a woman cannot be a villain.
Wow. Well, I just want you to know that until I get my 40 acres and a mule, I can't be the bad guy here.
Okay, fuck y'all.
He is calling us. He said help. What is help?
He's supposed to know every goddamn word in many languages.
No, maybe they have a perfect society and no one ever needs to ask for help.
Canada?
So the concept just doesn't exist?
Yeah.
Then why are they looking for the meaning of fucking Christmas?
Because they don't know it. They don't know the concept. Like they probably come from a perfect society. No one ever needs to ask for help. Mm-hmm. It's just given freely. And so they're like, oh, what is this? And then they're like, because later on, they're like, wait, I don't understand. If it's like Christmas, why are people fucking hungry? And it's like, good fucking question, aliens.
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. So they decide that help is interference, but they're going to disobey the prime directive and help anyway. Okay.
I mean, that's every episode of Star Trek. So yeah, it checks out.
They form the human alien chain and they pull everybody out. And immediately the townspeople are like, fuck this kid. Put this bully in jail. He deserves no freedom ever again for trying to steal that goose. At which point it is brought to their attention, maybe he stole the goose out of desperation because he was hungry. It's almost like poverty creates crime. A wild concept that 1977 was dealing with.
And see, here is the point where I was like, okay. I appreciate this show more because I thought at the end of it, they were just going to be, you know, like, well, too bad. We can't do anything about him. He's just a ruffian and he deserves
really
what he
did.
Gets. And then somebody brings up like, hey, there are economic structures in place. Maybe this 14-year-old child isn't evil. Maybe he could, you know, use a fucking helping hand from someone. I'm like, okay, you know what? For 1977, like, yeah, I respect that.
And this is where I wrote the note. Fuck this kid. He doesn't deserve the help.
Jesus.
I wanted this kid to go to jail. He has been a piece of shit this entire episode. I don't think his behavior will improve as a result of the kindness of others. I think it is wasted on Marvin's dumb, terrible ass. I think Marvin comes from an affluent family and is just a piece of shit. He deserved to go to jail. Case closed.
He deserved to go to jail for doing what?
Stealing property.
Attempted theft? So, like, he was shoplifting.
Reckless endangerment of the goose, a.k.a. someone else's property.
All right. Thank you, officer. That's all the testimony we need from you now.
I trust we're going to verdict immediately.
Yeah. For you, not the kid.
And side note, and this has made me laugh out loud as I was watching it, is they say, let's give charity to Marvin. Let's help Marvin out. Let's let Marvin the Bully into our house. Not once does he advocate for the rest of his gang. He's a piece of shit, Chan.
I think they do get invited.
Eventually. It's not like he was going out of his way to bring them into the plan.
Well, no, everybody is there. This is like a whole a town thing, so...
At the party, everyone is there. I have to believe they heard about it and just showed up, because I don't think Marvin cut them in on the deal whatsoever.
Well, the dude, Salvation Army guy is there, so it's everybody got invited, and we figured out how to get everybody there, so it's fine.
Are they the richest people in town? Why are they the ones hosting everybody?
What's a fucking potluck, man?
Yeah, they're not. They didn't buy all that food.
But there are bigger houses we could have had the entire town over for.
I mean, they're definitely going to go through a lot of toilet paper, which is what I would be mad about.
Should have a bidet.
You should have a bidet.
Ugh, I don't want strangers washing their ass in my toilet.
What do you think they're doing otherwise?
I mean, I don't let people shit in my apartment. I throw them out.
Okay, stop it. First off, I have pooped in a Gina Ippolito apartment before on purpose.
Did she know?
The truth comes out. No, she did not know. I did not get thrown out.
I'm coming here
to poop and poop only.
Not in my new apartment. Why do you think I moved?
Okay, you know what? I can't find a hole in this logic. We're having a party. The aliens are there. Everyone's cool. The aliens just, they Irish goodbye. They just take off. They ghost. And in the sky, am I the only one who saw this? As they are leaving, they make a series of lights. For a second, it's a giant penis. Am I wrong?
Okay, I'm going through this frame by frame.
Yeah, if I didn't notice it, then it probably isn't.
100% wrong.
It looked like for a moment early on there was a giant penis in the sky.
And here's how we found out. Angel. Here's how we find out that Ray's got a fucking weird looking penis.
Gina, if you didn't know that like 7 years ago. I feel like I've talked about it enough on this show. Or at least laid the breadcrumbs.
I mean, it would explain a lot.
Would it?
Wait, yeah.
What would it explain?
Your vibe?
Yeah, my vibe is pretty rough.
You got a weird penis vibe.
Do I? Is this a thing you would have said yesterday?
I mean, when doesn't she say it is the more pertinent question. Also, BT Dubs, I have just gone through this entire thing frame by frame, and I very much think that they were like, we cannot at any point let this look like a penis because like they, as this thing, you know, like starts showing up in the sky and you're like, there's like a circle. Okay. And then things start coming down. Like, okay, this could be the shaft of a penis. And they start putting wings on immediately. So like at no point does it approach a penis shape.
Wait. Your penis doesn't have wings. I've got that Namor penis.
Can neither confirm. Do they show his penis in that Marvel movie?
Well, he's got the wings on his feet. I just assume it also is on his penis.
Do you have toenails on your penis?
Well, that's our episode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Cosmic Christmas. Nelvana, you did it again.
I still say, like, I left with kind of a warm feeling. Not a hot feeling, but like, okay, well, this is kind of nice. Not enough to watch it a second time, but like, we watched Mr. Bungus or whatever the fuck that was a couple weeks ago, and it's still...
Y'all hear that soon enough, I think.
So, like, the bar has been lowered significantly.
No, this is nice in the way sitting with your two-year-old through the third hour of Coco Melon is nice. Yeah, exactly.
Not that bad. I feel like there's at least a little Bluey chaser at the end.
Oh, no. This is boomer trash. I'll just go ahead and say it. This is boomer trash. The end. Gina, what did you think of A Cosmic Christmas?
I thought it was weird. Like a lot of these 70s Canadian things. I watched it at 1.5 speed, so I can't complain.
Okay, can I say, for the first time in the history of Knowing It's Half the Podcast, I watched this at faster speed.
Yep.
And I don't feel like I missed anything.
Listen, you don't miss anything. You're just watching it faster. If I had 22 minutes to sit around and do something, I'd be flossing.
And are you referring to the dental technique or the dance from Fortnite?
I'd be learning how to floss.
Again, didn't answer my question.
Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.